You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast. This is Jason, and with me in conversation today is not only Jamie, but also my dad. This is episode 147, and we are going to be talking about the issue of handling grief. And particularly, we want to know, as Christians, how should we be thinking about grief? Grief is one of those things that's common to all of us. We've all experienced it. We all will experience it if you live long enough. And grief is something that it can be debilitating. It can be something where you can have trouble getting back to the daily routines of life if you experience severe forms of grief. And as Christians, of course, we want to introduce people always to the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We want people, if you're a new listener, we want you to know that that is what our hope is centered around. And beyond that, we want to help our fellow believers who know the gospel well to also be able to apply the gospel and apply what the scriptures say about this. And so one of the reasons why there are many reasons for my dad to come on, but my dad, Richard Smith, or he goes more commonly by Pastor Rick, thank you for coming on the episode. And also get your opinion, because as a pastor, we want to be able to encourage one another as pastors in the way we minister to people, and get your thoughts on when you talk with those who are experiencing grief, what are some of the things that you commonly come across, and what is some of your, I guess, go-to practices and then maybe passages from scripture you'd want to help people work through.
Okay, well, thank you, Jason and Jamie, and my privilege to be with you for this podcast today. This area of ministry to people in grief and crisis times is, I think, a very significant area of ministry for everybody in the body of Christ. As a pastor for some 35 years, it has always been something I wanted to learn about and how to help people more effectively. One of the things I could say that when I hear about the death of someone or know that it's going to come seemingly soon is I want to make contact with the person and identify what the situation is. If you just hear that someone in the church family has passed away, or they've lost a loved one that's just recently passed away, to get a hold of them as soon as possible, I think is important. Closer the relationship, even more significant. One thing I'll mention, I believe going to the Bible, going to the scriptures, and learning about the God of all comfort and how he ministers to us and how we then are set to in a position to minister to others is crucial. But before I mention more about the biblical thought, I want to mention a book that's been very helpful to me that I read years ago and have reached into several times. It's called Comforting the Bereaved, written by Warren W. Wiersbe and David W. Wiersbe, his son. And so it's a great book, and it's not just for pastors, it's for others in the body of Christ who want to minister to people in times of grief. And so one of the things, contact the person soon and identify where they're at, what is happening. If you're a close friend, to see if you could come over and be with them. The ministry of presence is so important in the area of comfort, because people are going through the full range of emotions and ups and downs and questions that come to mind, and to just know that you are there to be with them as a brother or sister in Christ, that you care about them, you love them, and you want to be there for them. So that's one of the first things. And what I try to do is I pray as much as possible. I try to pray before I even contact them. If I hear that such a situation has happened and someone has died, I want to pray and commit it to the Lord and ask for his guidance to know how to minister to the people. I may then soon pick up the phone and call and just express my condolences. And my concern, my love, you can express it in several different ways, but you want them to know that you are there for them. And then you're willing, if they're ready for you to come over, just go right over and be with them and spend some time with them. I try not to think in terms of sharing any kind of a sermon or a lot of sermon thoughts with people, but rather greet them with a hug, an arm on the shoulder, a firm handshake. And if I go into a room and there are several people there, and I remember my first pastorate even, when a patriarch in the community that I lived in, a small, very small town, passed away, I walked into a room and I'd not met anyone before. And so I just thought it was necessary and sensed it was good to do to go around and greet everybody in the room. And though it can be intimidating in those situations for anybody, I think it was good because I wanted them to know that I'm here. I want to help. I want to connect with you. I want to be there for you. So the ministry of presence is important at the beginning and then at other key times. For instance, the person may want to have someone go with them to the funeral home or later on to the gravesite or to work through some of the other things they need to process, paperwork and that kind of thing. Just someone there for them in those times is important. I also look at a portion of scripture and see that this is something in the body of Christ that we are to participate in. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, the scripture says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." And so I'm reminded that God is the God of all comfort and that He wants to work through other believers to comfort one another, and that we can identify with them in their grief, even as we've been comforted by God ourselves. So I think not thinking of a whole lot of words, but going to be with a person, talking to them, greeting them, and listening to them. Some people want to share a lot about their loved one, and others are very quiet and weeping. And the scripture says that we are to, in Romans 12, we're to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. So that's all a part of our initial visit with them, and also future visits with them that we are there to identify with them. Also, so saying words of what we should say and what we shouldn't say are important. Let me mention some things that we should avoid saying. One of the things we need to be careful about is that we should not be telling them that we know just how they feel, that we understand all that they're going through. Even if we've been through a similar situation, we may not actually really know how they're feeling. And so we have to be careful. A second thing is that just making statements off the cuff that everything's going to be all right. We believe that God does comfort people, but that is not something that just happens immediately, necessarily. And so there's going to be a period of a significant time frame of grieving for their loved one. And so I don't want them to think it's, in 2 weeks they'll be through this time of grieving. It's not a two-week episode in life. They will miss their loved one in one respect or another for the rest of their life, though we hope that in the course of time that things do improve. So I try to avoid saying things like that. And I think it's also important not to try to explain how your loved one died and fill in all of the blanks. In other words, the reason they died is because this happened or that happened. People don't need to hear those explanations, and we don't really know why people necessarily died in a given situation. And we have to be careful that we don't try to make it a moral or ethical death. They died because of this or because they didn't do this or because they were sinful in doing something. We want to be careful about that. Jesus referred to the Tower of Siloam that fell and killed, I believe, 18 people, but he indicated that they were not any worse or better than the normal person there in Israel. So we have to be careful about that. And also, Again, if we do share a thought or a scripture verse, don't come with a whole little sermon package that you're going to share with the person. They don't need to hear a sermon at that time. They need to sense that you just love them and that you care for them. So some of the things are trying not to explain everything that happened, trying not to say that we know just how they feel or why someone did die. We don't know all those answers and all those questions. And then also try to understand that sometimes people are feeling a great deal of guilt in an awkward or difficult death. And every death is sad and is heart-wrenching, but there are some that are more difficult because of the circumstances involved, an accident, a suicide, even a murder. Some of those have a great deal of added pain that come with it. And we have to be careful also that we don't try to explain why all these things happen in life. Because we don't know why all those things occurred. And that's not what comforts people, an explanation of how their loved one died, but rather that God is there for them. So those are a few things to keep in mind.
When I have encountered folks who are going through especially serious grief, especially severe forms of grief, like losing a spouse or a child or something along those lines, where it's just, you never, of course, would think less of someone for being devastated by those circumstances. Your heart goes out to them and you do want to help them. You want to just love them and help them just see their way through the time they're going through. And I guess one of the questions I think of is for those who seem like they're stuck, and they may even use that word, but they can't seem to, you know, maybe they have a concept of moving through stages of grief and or something like that. And basically accepting a new reality for them is seemingly impossible. What are some things you can share about those situations where you are showing love, you're showing comfort, and there's people gathering around them, and yet these folks just seem so paralyzed, you could say, by their grief?
Well, one thing I try to keep in mind, a broken heart is like a broken bone. It takes time to heal. And so my time frame for grief and someone else's time frame may be very different. It's not just time that helps people, but the hard work of mourning along with time. In other words, learning how to process this pain. And part of it is having others in the body of Christ there to support them, because there are different emotions. Let me mention several emotions that kind of play a role, I think, in this. There is the shock, the emotional numbness of just hearing about your loved one or being there when your loved one passes. There's the strong emotions that God made us with, the tear ducts that we can use, the crying that is important, but it could go on and on, too. There's also the reality of depression, which Wearsby calls a smothering feeling of loneliness. And there are then issues of guilt, depending on the kind of death or the circumstances surrounding the death. And so part of it is assigning guilt to other people or yourself. Sometimes it goes like this: if only we had gone to another doctor, or we should have taken a different road home, or I could have done more. It's the only, if only, if only idea where we are trying to find someone to blame. And then we can also have even anger about the person who died. Why did he have to die now? And so those different struggles that people go through can impede them from having good mourning. And so part of it is patience on our part. If we're seeking to minister to someone, being with them as much as we can, connecting with them. There can be, and we anticipate there will be, breakthroughs when they sense that, I feel like today was a new day, that kind of a statement, or I feel like I've turned the corner. But we don't know the time frame. That could be 2 weeks or 2 months longer before a person says that. So again, it's the ministry of presence. I think also to be with the body of Christ, if a person is a Christian, that they could sense the body of Christ, the church family gathering around them, being with them, not just the pastor to support them, which is important for a pastor, but others in the church family to make phone calls, to go do something with them, go out for coffee, maybe enjoy a hobby with them, or do something to have time together is always important. So part of how we comfort those with the comfort we receive from God is we say, who comforted me when I was going through pain, when I had the loss in my life, and then seek to emulate that in our relationship with other people. How can I be comforted? How can I comfort because I was comforted in this particular way?
That's a great aspect to it, I think, because so many people, you know, they look at other people around them who went through grief, maybe even a similar type of grief, right? They lost a spouse and they sort of develop a sense of shame, right? Why is my faith not as good as theirs? Because for them, you know, they began to overcome this, say, like in a year or something, where here I am a year later and I still am in this place or feeling these feelings. How do you help encourage that side of it where they are stuck in a sense, but it's really stuck in on the side of not so much stuck in grief, but just stuck in feeling like their faith isn't good enough, or there's a problem with them because they're not further along like the people they see around them or something like that?
Sure. Good comments, Jamie. Here's a couple things. In John 11, when Lazarus died, first he was sick and was very serious, and then of course he died, and Jesus spoke plainly to his disciples because they were unclear at one point, but he said plainly, Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. And it's the implied idea that, first of all, he identified that Lazarus truly did die, and secondly, that God, we know, has a plan for what's going to happen in the course of time. And Jesus was going to then go and minister to Mary and Martha, his two sisters. And so he didn't just send an apostle on his behalf, but he went there personally, and he spent time with them, and he also allowed them to make comments and even ask questions, and so to help them dialogue. So part of it is talking through what they went through, what their circumstances were, what their feelings were about their loved one, and ultimately we want them to move forward in their life and to a degree of acceptance that their loved one did die, but also what is the next chapter in their own life. And so part of it is waiting, is spending time, is the church family. Another thing that happened just in recent months at our church that was beneficial is that several ladies had lost their husbands in death and over the last year or so. And one of the ladies had a sense that maybe I can minister to other ladies who've lost their spouse, even as I did, that kind of mentality, shared it with me and with others. And we agreed, you know, that if she wants to start a group, a support group for other ladies, basically we're talking about widows, but they had another title for their group, but they wanted to have a time, and we wanted to fully support them in having this grief time together. And so they have been doing that, and it's been very beneficial. So it's kind of an organized, but not highly structured, time together for ladies to come together to identify with one another, and that they've all lost their husband in the last, well, most of them in the last year and a half or so, and then be there for one another. And so that has seemed to be very beneficial. So that's another thing, because then they hear how other ladies are going through their time of grief and what it has been like for them. And they also see some who I think are doing quite well in terms of just the time frame for their grief. But we don't minimize, the reality, the feelings, the emotions. There'll be times that people will be reminded of their loved one. And it could be as simple as the fragrance of a perfume or the fragrance of a flower, or it could be something else, and a memory is triggered. And so we want to support them when they start getting tears. Several of those ladies, there are emotional times they have, and we don't want to ever put them down for those emotions that come unexpectedly, but an arm on the shoulder and just say, we're with you. And, but also encourage them to be with others who are going through a similar time. So, those are some of the things that I think have helped. If there is long-term, disability in terms of, emotional, disability or not able to function, let's say, in, their life after, a period of, and who knows the time frame, but it may be, a year or more. And if they're still not able to function, there may be a need for Christian counseling as well. But I think the small group can help a lot of people because they're with others that can identify with what they've been through.
I know we have it at my home church, a group kind of like that, and they follow a program called Grief Share, which I don't know who puts it out, but it's an actual full, I think it's a 6-month program. You walk through it, and then if you want to do it a second time to really help with that process, and it really helps kind of a little more structured grief, helps people kind of move through the different aspects of grief and move through the different aspects of mental spiritual, emotional healing, and gives them good encouragement from the Word of God on how that process goes down. So that community, I'm sure, is really vital, or invaluable, I guess is the word I'm looking for there.
Sure.
I am curious, though, what do you say to someone who, not in the moment, let's say they had a family member die or something, and we avoided the theological questions in the moment, but later on down the road, maybe a few weeks or a few months, they're really wanting to understand how God allows this in their life, or really have that connection right with God. And how do you help walk somebody through that, recognizing we can't, as you already stated, we can't determine what, why God did what he did. Why does he heal some people and not other people? Why does he save some people and not other people? We can't really answer that question, but there still is that open question on the table, which is, really just that, how does God, or how do I relate to God given his sovereignty in this case?
Yeah. And building on that, maybe you could give a kind of a two-part answer to this, because the other thing that I've thought about in connection with what Jamie just mentioned is the idea of when is it lamenting and asking questions, and like what we see in the Psalms where people say, why have you let this happen, God? Why have you abandoned me? Why don't you hear me? When is it lament versus when is it blasphemy? When is it that, you're saying something wrong about God in a wrong way? So maybe just if you could kind of touch on both of those issues, because that's something that occurred to me as well.
Well, one thing is when you are with people in grief, they can say things that are way off course theologically, biblically. They can be angry at God and say things that are not true about God. God doesn't care. God doesn't understand. God hasn't gone through what I've been through, on. And I try to give those people a wide berth and realize that sometimes in the heat of emotion or passion, we as human beings can say things and do things that we regret. And that's not to give an open door to do anything people want. That's not the point. But it is to say that, in those times, their emotions are all over the chart. And so I think it's important. They will remember that you cared about them, that you wanted to be with them, even when they were angry, were mad, were frustrated, were sullen, depressed, whatever it may be, that you wanted to be there with them as a representative of the body of Christ, of the Lord. And so that's one thing. In the course of time, without rebuking that person, we can mention and should mention things about God and his care, his compassion, reading verses, a few verses about his compassion. You know, in Jeremiah said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The great song, Great is thy faithfulness, came from that portion in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, to help people see that though they have all these frustrated and sometimes angry and disrespectful feelings, God still loves them. He's still faithful. He's still merciful. We're looking to the character of God, even in our great pain, and realize that he is there for us. He is there to comfort us. And so instead of rebuking the person so much as we are countering error with truth, we speak the truth in love. We say that to them and we share that with them. So that's one of the things is God will defend himself in a sense in his work in their life, but also people will reprocess what they have said and done. And if we handle them well, if we care for them in a loving and compassionate way, that will help them to be more open to understanding the love and compassion of God. So I also believe it's important to show biblical stories, narratives that show people going through times of grief, times of loss. And it can be how the children of Israel and how the mourning of when Jacob passed in Genesis. And those kinds of times, or when somebody lost a spouse in their great pain, or you take even an awkward situation when David lost his son Absalom, who was a very awkward situation because Absalom was a rebel, and all very very difficult situation. So you help people; they'll realize people go through all sorts of horrible experiences in life. And God does comfort them, and God does minister to them. Or we saw in John 11, Jesus going to Mary and Martha with Lazarus when he passed away. And of course, he brought forth Lazarus from the dead and showed his strength and his miraculous power, even in bringing him forth from the dead. So pointing to God and his character and biblical narratives that show people going through tough times, I think is appropriate.
I think even to maybe it's helpful a little bit to point maybe to Hebrews chapter 2, for example, where Jesus suffered in every way like us so that he could be our high priest, right? He could be our perfect high priest. So, and I've always been encouraged by that because it shows, Jesus went to the cross for the purposes of God, but he didn't suffer for the purposes of God. He suffered in every way like us so that he could relate, not just because he's sovereign God and he, knows everything, right? But also because in the flesh, Jesus experienced, that human life and suffering and all of that. And that's really good. I really liked your point about giving people a wide berth through grief, not necessarily taking everything they say seriously, because they say people in grief say some of the weirdest stuff. Like, one that's really common is they will refer to their family member as an angel now, which of course we would recognize that's not biblically true. And yet that's not really something worth stopping and correcting them on in that moment, right? we gotta, get this conversation sort of wrapped up here. We're running out of time, but I did want to give you the opportunity to speak. We've talked a lot through here about how we engage with people who are experiencing grief. I wanted to give you the opportunity to close out the episode here by speaking directly to people in grief. Maybe we've got some listeners who, you know, have lost a family member through COVID or just regular death or accident or all those things you mentioned, or having some other form of grief. What encouragement would you offer them directly?
Certainly the greatest comfort is in knowing Christ. As you mentioned, you know, Christ identifies with all the different emotions and experiences with us. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. But also realize that God knows grief in that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to a sin-riddled world, and he died on the cross, taking upon himself the very wrath of God, and was judged for us. And so God went through that great pain of the death of his son, and so he understands pain to the greatest degree. And his son, of course, not only died, Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty as our substitute and for our sin, but also was buried, and the whole process of burial there in the scriptures, and then he was resurrected from the dead. And that's the great hope that we have to offer to people, is that God ministers to us in our grief and our pain and our loss. And also, most importantly, he gives us the forgiveness and a relationship with him, because Jesus died and was buried and was resurrected from the dead. And so we have eternal hope in the Lord. And even when we are greatly pained by missing our loved ones, we know this, that if they knew Christ, that we will one day join them in heaven. The Bible tells us, absent from the body, at home with the Lord. And so we can look forward to one day going to be with the Lord, and we have eternal life right now, but the reality of heaven is just around the corner. And so we look forward to that time when we will be with the Lord forever and ever. And that's because the greatest source of comfort is in knowing Jesus Christ as our personal, our Lord and our Savior. And so that's what I would want to encourage people in. It doesn't answer all the many questions you have about grief, but it answers the big question, can I know God, and can I have a relationship with him that lasts forever?
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.